Right.
Thank you. Welcome all to the regular meeting of the Board of Commissioners, Noble Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. Today is October 10th, Thursday, and we just finished with our closed session. We're moving to open session. I'd like to call us to order 6 o'clock with a roll call.
Commissioner Higgins. Commissioner Benson.
Present.
Commissioner Coleman.
Present.
Commissioner Newman.
Present.
President Dale.
Here. All right. Pledge of Allegiance.
Aaron.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Ryan, would you like to report on closed session?
Yes, there was no reportable action taken during tonight's closed session.
All right. At this point in our meeting, we ask for public comment on items not on our agenda. You may speak for 3 minutes on any item you wish to speak about that is not agendized this evening. Step to the microphone, tell us your name and where you're from, and give us your 3 minutes. All right, seeing none, I'm going to move to consent calendar.
Motion to pass the consent calendar.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, please signify by saying nay. Okay, communications, reports, and correspondence received.
We have no correspondence to report on tonight. A little bit of a presentation. We have in our presentations tonight, Mr. President, we have staff that typically report. So our development director, myself, we also have our district treasurer here with the summary this evening, our district planners here, and our district engineers online. He's got some reasons to keep him away, so I'll be giving his report tonight, but he is joining us. So. Okay. So we'll start with the executive director's report. I got to spend the day today, a big part of the day out at CR in a mentorship program. I'm on the CR President's Advisory group and really enjoying going back out to CR where I started my education and never finished it, of course, but and participating. This is a group of students and community leaders that are participating in this program together. A lot of these students have some real extenuating circumstances. And so they're looking for really reasons to excel. This young lady here who is really dynamic, you know, she's a single mom trying to do better for her family. And there's a young man in there who, has grown up with a very different circumstance than many of us, but yet totally focused on their education and ultimately career planning and job placement. So really happy to work with these two people from the President's Advisory Committee, Cindy from HCOE, Chris Albrecht from O&M Industries, and then this is Montel. He runs the Career Center out at CR. So there's a little rumor going around that we dredged Woodley on the marina. It's true. So Dutra just left here about 10 days ago. We took out the difference figure between 64,000 cubic yards, about 24,000 went out last year. We're about 40,000 went out now. So we got our full contract with no additional expenses. So we just paid, you know, the original mob demob. We don't have to pay for that second visit. So we've dredged the bulk of this marina. There is an area in H&I dock, which we will have to dredge from the upland. There is not equipment that will fit in there because of the configuration of it. So we'll be seeing how we might be able to do that in a second type of permit. If necessary, but really happy with the results. Shout out to Dutra and their team. It was an absolute first-class operation. They washed as they went, kept the marina very, very clean. Despite some challenges in the beginning with moving boats, staff really stepped up and cooperated well with the dredge operations. So it was very successful. Probably in the 5 years that I've worked for the district, this has by far been the best dredge operations we had. So really proud of Dutra and our staff that worked really diligently on this. And a special thanks to SHN, who's been really instrumental into keeping us going in our permitting and compliance with the Army Corps of Engineers and other agencies. We toured this fella here, the guy that's running our boat. His name's Adam Schiff. And we were honored to have Congressman Huffman bring him up here to Humboldt County to learn a little bit more about the region, the area. And one of the things that he stopped in on while he was here was to tour the port of Humboldt Bay. So that was an honor. This guy here, I don't know who he is, but he's actually in command of the boat. And then we had a visit from the port of Long Beach last week. A couple of you participated. As many people know, the Port of Long Beach and the Port of Humboldt Bay are really the leaders in West Coast offshore wind and paving the way for this to happen. We were lucky to have a couple members of the staff at Blue Lake Rancheria join us who've taken a very strong interest in alternative energy and wind in particular and participated with us on a number of items. As you know, their interns have presented here to this board. So we were really privileged to have them. Mario Cordero, who's seated right behind me or standing right behind me there. Mario's extended a very sincere invitation to, who is very seasoned in port operations, to not only mentor our team and myself, but really to partner with Humboldt Bay Harbor to make wind a reality and keep us at the forefront. And of course, the work that Rob and Suzanne are doing. So really glad. I was grateful that Mindy participated and she was able to be a part of that. She wasn't able to get to all of it, but it was nice to have our team there. So many other things going on. We've got some new hires in our maintenance department. We lost a couple people. And it's always fun to get some new people on. Brian and Mindy have been very busy interviewing and getting people seated. You know, good things happening there. And gosh, I'm going to stop there because there's so much going on. And I think I could go for about 5 minutes, but I'll pass it to Rob.
All right. I remember what I put on here.
What kind of bird is that, Greg?
It's Kingfisher. Taking me right outside of Mindy's office. We didn't meet in September, so back in August, I attended this California Energy Commission Ports Collaborative in San Diego, working with all the ports to look at green port initiatives. So that was really productive to just look at how other ports are going about that, what their challenges are, and what their successes are.
There's any golden nuggets from that to share with us, Rob?
Yep, the the support from the California Energy Commission, I think, is really important. Port of Hueneme and Long Beach have the most laid out strategy so far, so they have a lot to share. Most of the other ports are in the same place we are, trying to figure it out. There's a lot of CARB regulations coming down that are affecting shipping containers. So for all the other ports that have shipping container kind of traffic, that's their biggest challenge. For us, we're kind of starting from scratch, restarting the whole thing. So we had that opportunity. I think where they're retrofitting most.
I see. Thank you.
I love to paddleboard. Every weekend in the summer, my wife and I take our kids somewhere and we paddleboard up rivers. But for the first time this past weekend, I paddleboarded in Humboldt Bay. I went up the Mad River Slough and saw leopard sharks and blew my mind. And for a moment, it kind of felt like that. But if you haven't seen a leopard shark, there was just a bunch of them. And they were swimming underneath me with no concern. They were really curious, interested. And it was just an incredible experience. I encourage everyone to go out and see leopard sharks in Humboldt Bay. I imagine you've seen a lot of those, Greg.
Yeah.
That's my report.
Did you take that picture?
No, I was completely in the moment. And after they were all gone, I was like, I didn't get any pictures.
When you catch a leopard shark on your fish line, that gets a little gnarly because those guys are reeling those things in. They're a little scary. It's like landing a boa constrictor.
Tasty.
So, again, Mike's not able to join us tonight. He is online, but he's got some other things happening. But I want to give the engineering update. So the Manila parking lot, which you know is a key initiative of the Clean California grant program, we were finally able to break ground there this week. So we're in the process of doing those improvements. Started on the 7th. And then down at Fields Landing Boatyard, you'll remember back in December, you gave us authorization to proceed with quite a bit of improvements down there. And then we have some monitoring requirements and some things we agreed to do a much better job down at Fields Landing Boatyard. So through the support of NOAA, We have a recording ring gauge being installed that will be maintained by NOAA. It'll provide data to the local office. It'll also help us with our tracking requirements down at the boatyard. Our stormwater treatment design will be completed by the end of October, so that's right on schedule. And once that's completed, we'll be offering a presentation and an update, and then we'll be working on our budgeting. The next steps, of course, will be to construct that system and put it in. And one of the things that's been going on is that Jacob, who works for Mike and his team at SHN, has been working with Rinky Marine, who is our tenant and operator down there, to really improve on the stormwater BMPs so we're prepared for winter. And there's been a number of site visits. Todd's been very, very cooperative with us, and so we're putting some changes in to do quite a significant improvement there. RMT2 Ocean Outfall, so we submitted our permit application for both the emergency and long-term permits to the California Coastal Commission, met with Melissa, who continues to be very supportive of our repair activities. We have a package to submit to State Lands this month regarding their permitting and what's considered their letter of no objection. Marlene Schroeder at State Lands has just been remarkable and fantastic to work with. So a few pictures Mike provided of the progress. So this is the getting the site ready for repavement. The center picture, we're putting a new ADA parking and then some additional areas, another view of this, but there's some additional areas just towards us from that excavator there. We'll be working in the basketball area and creating a new pathway down to the tennis courts. So really excited to get that going. There's three shots here. This is some of the rock bag placement after some of the sand had come in on the outfall line. This photograph here is just shows how the sand builds up over the summer period and where we sit today. And we've made significant improvement, gained an incredible amount of our beach back. Remember that as we go into our winter months, we start to lose a lot of that beach. We will have some exposure there. We have bags on hand and cobble ready, the box to fill more rock bags if we need to. The other big piece of that is remember is that we're actively working for beneficial reuse. We'll be getting the 2026 sediment from the barn entrance dredging. I've been trying to do a placement of between 650,000 to 1 million cubic yards, direct beach placement and spread and going right over the top of the outfall line. So a little bit more to those repairs there. There's some helical anchors and other things will be attached to the outfall line, but just good, you know, great progress. And so really appreciative of Mike's team and the work they're doing. So Vanessa? Yeah, please. I don't know if I received slides for you, did I?
No, okay. Mine is pretty brief.
No problem.
But thanks for having me. Good to see you all. I'm Vanessa Blodgett, the Harbor District Contract Planner. And I have continued to process applications, numerous permit applications that are at various stages of the application review process. We've processed a couple of renewals for permits that are either active projects or haven't started yet, and then continuing to process about four or five applications that will be coming to you in the coming months that we're reviewing and going through the permit review process. And then I just provide ongoing coordination support for district staff as needed for various grant-funded projects and other projects as needed. And that's my update.
Thank you, Vanessa.
We do have a district treasurer report. It got skipped again.
Well, we're a little out of order because council was supposed to come first.
It'll be brief, I promise.
Oh no, you're gonna sing it too, right?
Yeah.
My name's Lindsay Grossman, district treasurer. I just wanted to kind of give you guys an update. It's been a while since I've provided a cash report. Wanted to let you know the one today, the cash flow analysis will not change. Cash is cash. And I'm still working on the audit process as far as year end, you know, closing goes. And so as far as the actual financial statements, I do still have some big adjustments that need to be made there, working on those year end leases and post-employment benefits and the different liabilities that we have to put into the financial statements. So I did want to reiterate that those financials that are in there are draft, but the cash report, I don't anticipate anything changing there. I do hope by this time next month, we will have June finalized and I will get the next couple months back to, you know, to current, and I will be on a monthly regular basis from there. Just trying to get the year end done is quite a process. So, do you guys have any questions? Anything? No? Okay.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Counsel, did you didn't get the report?
Nothing for me tonight.
Commissioner reports. Commissioner Benson. None. It's been 2 months since we met.
It's true. It's true.
Well, it has been 2 months.
I don't have anything to share.
Okay.
My turn.
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot either. I participated in a few subcommittee meetings. I had the opportunity to meet with the Port of Long Beach. That was really nice to hear what some of the challenges and opportunities that they have down there, and hopefully, you know, opportunities for all the ports to collaborate in an effective way, I guess would be a good word. Been real busy with work stuff as well. Have over at Redwood Coast Energy Authority, have a lot of real exciting projects going on the other side of the energy fields. Happy that my day job involves energy efficiency and conservation, which is, in my mind at least, as important, if not more important, than the renewable energy generation. But I think they're both essential and tie in together. And also some real exciting stuff going on with some microgrids for Humboldt County to help with resiliency across the county.
How about paying customers there?
Well, I generally don't spend a whole lot of time talking about my day job here at this, but since you brought it up, Greg, we do try and keep all of the revenue that we generate from providing electricity here local, as instead of shipping it out of the county to do various projects. We do reimburse customers who have solar who exceed. Maybe they don't get cut checks as frequently as they would like, Greg, but they do get cut checks as opposed to some of the other options that are out there. So we're really happy about that, to be able to put all of our revenue and profits back into the community that we live in. So that's my little pitch for Redwood Coast Energy Authority, that we are local and we keep energy dollars local. But I would...
And if you
love
call
anything,
them.
I would love anything that we could do to make rates lower. I mean, I pay the same high rates that we all do, and I think the energy rates are too high for a lot of reasons, and anything that we can do to...
Well, if you call them and you get a hold of Lewis, you get really good information and really good customer service. So just so we know.
I let them know that.
Thank you.
And I also told them to block your number as well.
Commissioner Newman.
Well, I'm glad to have been part of some of these boat tours and promoting her bay and our project. We had a subcommittee meeting yesterday. We've been working on getting another pilot for Humboldt Bay, for a bar pilot, which is very important moving forward, especially with the sort of commerce we're looking at, hopefully, with all these projects. And I hope that that process keeps moving forward smoothly. As a member of the fishing community, we're really, really happy to see the dredging get done. I've been promising dredging for a long time, and they were getting tired of hearing my excuses. That's really good. As far as commercial fishing, it is kind of that time of year we start thinking about Dungeness crab season. So some of the tests have started for domoic acid and crabs, and soon there'll be a quality test. And we had an association meeting today for Humboldt Fishermen's Marketing Association. So we're kind of moving into crab season mode. So
any sign of Alexandrium or domoic acid?
So far they haven't got results back from this area or Trinidad or Crescent City, maybe Crescent City, but I do believe they had a couple of crabs over 30 parts per million in the Central Coast.
Huh, okay.
And the biggest issue for Dungeness crab fishermen these days is avoidance of whale entanglements, and sounds like there's been some entanglements, so we're going to have to move forward carefully with that politics. It's very touchy and been quite costly to the fishing community, but we're doing what we can to make everything work for everybody, so it's going well.
Thanks, sir.
That's it.
All right, like the rest of us, I got to go for a boat ride with the Cal ISO people. That was interesting. It was fun. It's nice to know that there's people in the state that are really thinking about what we're going to do and how we're going to get where we need to be to not only generate but transmit energy from offshore wind. We had the Port of Long Beach here this week. It's always nice. I've been to a number of things with these guys, and it's nice to have them here so they can see what we've got. A couple of their staff have been here quite a bit, but their executive director and other staff haven't. So it's nice to put them on that so they know what we're doing. And they're a huge port, but they really are good partners with us. So I'm pretty proud of that. Pilot subcommittee, Aaron spoke about it. We've got to get more pilots. We need more shipping to make more pilots. So it's what's that term I'm looking for?
Before the horse.
Cart before the horse. Chicken before the egg. Yeah. We're getting there though. We're trying to figure it out. And I on a personal note, I last weekend went for a train ride on the skunk train and picked pumpkins. Now I'll tell you right now, it's the first time I've ever been on the skunk train. It was fun. It was a good time. Yeah, it was good. It was good. It's hot. That's all I got. I'm moving on to unfinished business. Status report, Rob.
Sorry for the bureaucratic terms there. So P23 is 2023 Port Infrastructure Development Program grants through MARAD. It's that recent $8.5 million grant we got. And MARAD calls it, MARAD is the Maritime Administration of the Federal Department of Transportation. They call it the P23 grant, so that's what we've been calling it. And it's why we had to go back out to RFQ, create a little bit of delay in our project, but we're about to kick that off. So that's a big step in the project. There's also a new $45 million CPC grant that is due in late November. We'll be bringing details to that to you in November. That is a big opportunity for us. We have initiated a series of meetings with residents of the town of Sepulveda. So that will be ongoing, really productive so far. With this new P23 project, there's going to be a real surge of different types of community engagement. So a lot more to report about that coming up soon. And that also comes with a Baywide Master Plan, kind of like a long-term, call it 20-30-year plan, 20-30-year plan for all of Humboldt Bay and how offshore wind could affect Humboldt Bay, what all the various scenarios of development are. So a lot of opportunities built into that for public engagement. So more to report on that soon. Oops, wrong computer. So I have this book here, Carbon Footprint of Everything. And I want to share some ideas from this book. So the author says, if you take a rain barrel, it's about the size of a 55-gallon drum, and fill it right up to the brim with gasoline, and then get another one. So you've got two of these barrels filled to the brim with gasoline, and then set them on fire. When they're done burning, they will have released 1 ton of CO2 directly into the atmosphere. If you take a 1-liter bottle, fill it with gasoline, set it on fire, you will have released 1 kilogram of CO2 into the atmosphere. And if you take a little blob of gasoline the size of a single chickpea, set it on fire, you will have released 1 gram of CO2 directly in the atmosphere. Using those three volumes, he then goes through 180 different activities that we do in our daily life and tells you about the equivalent carbon footprint of your activities. So for instance, sending a single email releases 17 grams of CO2 into the atmosphere. So 17 little pieces of chickpea gasoline. A Zoom call for 1 hour is about 100 grams of CO2 released in the atmosphere per person.
What's that from? Electricity?
Electricity from your computer, the electricity of all the servers that have to service all of the system.
Don't be like that.
The power generator is not renewable.
You're ruining my conclusion.
I'm sorry.
If AI gets involved,
it... Shut up, Dale. We don't want to hear it. God.
That idea.
Fucking presentation.
A banana is the same as a Zoom call.
Oh.
A latte, 12 ounce, half a liter, ghastly. Meat Lover's Pizza, 4 liters. Flying from New York to Paris, 3.5 tons per person. So this goes on to tell you the carbon footprints of all of these things here and 180 others. A volcano and the World Cup are about the same. The annual carbon footprint of the average American is 21 tons per year per person of CO2. So that's 42 55-gallon drums of gasoline set on fire. That's the average American, 21 tons. Here's some other nations. The world average is 5 tons. Keep that in mind. I'll come back to that. The U.S., total U.S. annual emissions is 7.6 billion tons. If you were to take 55-gallon drums and lay them out on the ground, packed in that pattern, it would take 1 million acres of them, which is exactly the size of Rhode Island. So the whole state of Rhode Island with gasoline drums and set them on fire. That's how much we release per year. It is also half the size of Humboldt County. So if you look out the window and imagine just nothing but 55-gallon drums for the whole northern half of Humboldt County set on fire, that's the amount of CO2 that America releases annually. And interestingly, we think of our atmosphere as big and endless, but it's really a very thin layer around the Earth. If you were to take a giant vacuum and suck out all of the air, it would make a sphere that large compared to the Earth. The amount of water on the Earth is even smaller. So we're not working with a ton of atmosphere here. So the author's suggestion is that we really need to reduce our carbon footprints. And he recommends a 5-ton lifestyle. So just being an average human on Earth instead of an American. So to live a 5-ton lifestyle, the amount of emails you send really is not going to make that much of a difference. And Zoom calls really aren't going to move the needle that much. Or even bananas. Some foods have more impact than others. Flying is the biggest thing that you can do, or not flying. And the type of car you drive makes a big difference. So if you were to drive a standard American car 20 miles per day, that would take up a quarter of your 5-ton lifestyle just in your driving 20 miles a day. If you were to eat 3 cheeseburgers per day every day for a year, that would are 3/4 of your 5-ton lifestyle. So your diet certainly makes a difference. But he said, as he tours the world and lectures on this topic, the number one question he gets is, should I dry my hands when I'm in a bathroom with an air dryer or a paper towel? And he says it is the wrong question to ask. If you're focusing on that, you've lost the message. What really matters the most is where we get our electricity. And so in reading this, I realized that what we're doing with this offshore wind project and anything that we're doing to transition to renewable energy is likely the most significant thing that any of us will do in affecting our carbon footprints locally. Obviously, we need to look at how we eat, how we drive, but this is really the number one thing that we can do. And I don't know if we can get to this. Maybe we can show this another time.
Oh, what
they
selected.
No, I just click it when maybe it's okay. I'll show this video next time.
Okay.
it's a video from NASA. On this new model that they've done on tracking CO2 as it moves through our atmosphere. And what you can see are coal-fired power plants on the east coast of the United States, and they all are just a constant, nonstop source of CO2. And then as you start to, it starts to pan around the world, you can see power plants around the world. And so kind of brings that little message. That is my report for the month.
Thanks, Rob. That's good. There's just no reason to generate electricity any other way than with renewables. All right, I'm going to move to item B, cancellation of special meeting scheduled for 11-2024 regarding Harbor District Permit Application 2024-01. Oh, on Rob's report, I apologize. Please, if you would like to speak or comment on Rob's report, and I guess the board could comment. Do you have any comments?
Thank you.
I commented.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Without you guys.
I would still argue that the way in which we use energy and the purposes for which we use energy could also have a huge impact, as well as the ways in which we generate it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What you said in your report, Rob.
No, I appreciate the report.
All right, now I'm going to take it to the audience. Would anyone care to speak to Rob's presentation? Seeing none, I'm going to move on to item B, cancellation of special meeting scheduled for 11-2024 regarding Harbor District Permit Application 2024-01 due to withdrawn application.
So move. Second. You're faster.
I have a motion and a second. Would you like to speak to it?
I believe Vanessa is prepared to speak.
Oh,
thank you.
Two Vanessas tonight.
All right. So at your special meeting on August 28th, the permit was reviewed and the commission asked for additional environmental review on the application. Soon after that, the applicant was called to withdraw their application. So no further staff action was taken, and we recommend that the meeting is canceled, the special meeting. And that's my report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Yeah, what's going to happen with the fallen billboard? Is that going to be just removed then? Is there a cleanup or remediation that happens?
We'll bring that at another meeting.
Another meeting.
And this is the action item. So we'll have to discuss that as a separate item. And we plan to bring that to the board in either November or December.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Thanks.
So would anybody from the audience care to comment on the cancellation of our special meeting? Seeing none, I have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Minus Pat. 11, new business. Authorize the extension of real property lease with Redwood Restaurants for a period of additional years.
Yeah, so Cafe Marina, who's represented here tonight by Paula Hamilton, the proprietor. Cafe Marina has been part of Woodley Island Marina since the inception of the marina. They've been with us for four decades. They offer a great casual dining experience here in the community, as well as access to outdoor seating, which I can say is utilized 12 months out of the year. The proprietor came to us recently indicating they'd like to make a significant investment in improving the facility, including modifications to the equipment, the bar, the general layout, the vibe of the restaurant in terms of putting a little bit more modern flair, potentially replacing some windows that are behind the bar, putting on a new bar top, and putting in some sanitization equipment behind the bar. Ceiling improvements, paint, flooring, we'll leave that up to them what they're going to do, but they're planning to invest about $100,000 in tenant improvements. And so it's time to renew that lease. That is a significant investment for Ryder to make, especially with the current economics out there. But Paul and her team are fully committed to it. It is notable that this particular lease pays an above market rent We are receiving 6.75% of sales as percentage rent. And that is pretty remarkable. That's significant. So this is an exceptional lease for the district. It's an exceptional location for the tenant. And with them putting this level of improvement in it, it definitely merits the renewal of this lease. So staff's recommendation is that we authorize the extension and set her on our way to making the improvements.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Absolutely wonderful partners and a wonderful business to be on this island, and they do a great job. So we're thankful to have them. Very thankful. So anybody from the audience care to speak on this item? And I thank you for renewing your lease and wanting to be here too, as well. Class act over there. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. All right. 11B, consider adopting resolution 2024-09, a resolution to authorize the execution of a grant agreement and accept funds from the California Natural Resources Agency, Department of Parks and Recreation, Division of Boating and Waterways, for the Surrendered and Abandoned Vessel Exchange Program.
So I get the mouse to work here. Oh, well. Okay. So once again, the recommendation from staff. It's okay. Is that the board adopt resolution 2024-09 and authorize the executive director to execute the grant agreement with California Natural Resources Agency. So surrendered and abandoned vessels are a remarkable problem in the waters in California. Here in Humboldt Bay, we are probably one of the poster childs for it. Unfortunately, we have a lot of abandoned vessels. And I want to make sure people notice this is not our fishing fleet. Yes, we do get fishing vessels from time to time. These are typically recreational vessels, sailing vessels that people acquire for recreation, and they're not really prepared for the responsibility of owning them. I would say in an average year, there's probably 5 calls for vessels that are floating without anchor in Humboldt Bay and in our sloughs. We go and recover those vessels along with the sheriff's office and oftentimes the NZ Marine. And then our property, we have to get rid of them. So we have to lien them and we have to process them. It's been very, very difficult. Title is a hard. I will say with great pride that Corey Moore is our marina manager and Amber Sheehan, our harbor specialist too. Did I get that right?
Office assistant too.
Thank you. They worked really hard to make sure that we got back into a lien process, have been going through that process, going to the DMV to secure title, working with the county assessor's office so we can decide what we're doing with the personal property taxes assessed on these vessels. And so we now are in a process where we can start liening boats and actually utilize our SAFE grant. You'll know in the past there was not service to get the title, or there were reasons why there was a chain of owners and we weren't able to secure title. So we were awarded $30,000 this year. The city of Eureka was awarded $28,000. It is our plan to work in tandem with the city of Eureka to haul the boats to the Fieldsania Boatyard facility, where we will begin the process of removing all the recyclables in an effort to reduce the cost of demolition. We, of course, will be removing all the fluids and sending them to the proper waste streams through certified disposal sites, and then ultimately crushing and disposing of the vessels. So we want to make the best use of this grant. There was quite a few more applicants this year, so the volume or the dollar volume is much less than it's been in years past. We've received 52,000, and the period prior to that, I think it was about 84,000. And so we've got to do more with less, but through a cooperative effort with us in the city of Eureka and using new methods for demolition, including utilizing our own staff and renting equipment to do the demolition, we feel we can be quite successful with it.
Thank you, Chris.
I move to approve the resolution.
I think we already have a motion and second. Then I second.
I have a motion and a second.
Chris is correct that a lot of these vessels aren't commercial vessels, but it is definitely a sign of a decline in the commercial fishing business. Some of them are, quite a few of them actually. And there's a lot more that are headed that way soon. And there's reasons for it. We haven't had a salmon season for 2 years. We've had disaster money promised from 2023-2024 season. Now we haven't had a season that was in the prior year, it was also closed. And folks can't maintain their vessels. And the other fisheries aren't helping out either. So it's a rough time. I mean, I'm seeing less and less maintained vessels in general, and a lot of commercial vessels. It's pretty sad. It's expensive and a lot of work to maintain them, and there's no money.
Yeah. Comments? Any additional comments?
Are there any opportunities here in terms of fixing and selling?
There are not. These are boats that have to be leaned and demolished. And there has been discussion about why is that the case, and there's different reasonings. Typically, unfortunately, we bring the vessel in, we do work, we invest fisher dollars in it, we sell it again, and it ends up right back in the same circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of cradle to grave, goes in the waste stream. Again, we do a very high level of high grading, if you will, or recycling. The cost to rehab these and then sell them, they end up staying in the boatyards. And so, unfortunately, well, that is a remarkable idea. You'd think that would be the right thing to do. The yards just fill up with them, and then we have a backlog, and we need more money from the state. So, yeah. But I appreciate that, though, because that was what I wondered. Why don't we just, you know, take two bad boats and make one good one, but not part of the program.
This is not a Humble Bay only problem. It's everywhere in the country, everywhere in the world has this problem. And it always amazes me how quickly you can have the nicest boat in the county and tomorrow it'd be out here upside down in a slip. Just it happens so fast. If you don't work on it for a year or 2 years, things tend to decay.
Or somebody sees it cheap boat on Craigslist and thinks, oh, I'm going to be a boat captain now.
Yeah.
And it ends up in our hands pretty soon.
Yeah, and that does happen too. Anybody from the audience care to speak on this item? Seeing none, quiet group tonight. Nobody's talking. All right, this is a resolution. So roll call.
Commissioner Higgins. Commissioner Benson.
Aye.
Commissioner Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman?
Yep.
President Dale?
Yes, please. Motion passes.
Fuck is Craig Benson.
All right. So future agenda items. Rob, you're bringing us a resolution. Chris is bringing us a resolution.
Supporting community engagements.
We didn't do the future agenda resolutions. Yeah, we've discussed this in the past. So there was a request for us to do a resolution supporting community engagement. We've talked about getting our community engagement committee in motion and working with that group to develop that resolution. And so
remind us who's on that committee.
What's that?
Remind us who's on that committee.
We are still in the process of contacting people. So once everybody's confirmed and we have everyone slated, then we could bring that back for publication.
Okay. Any other future agenda items that you care to see, commissioners? Public? They're quiet tonight, or I wouldn't ask that. all right. Well, then I am going to adjourn this meeting.
Yeah, I have one.
Please.
Hi, my name is Jack Norton. Worked for Blue Lake Rancheria. I had a pleasure of reading the public labor agreement, and it looks like they had a lot of all the zip codes for Humboldt County. But previously, before I worked for Blue Lake, I lived in Hoopaw, and I just happened to notice that the zip code for Hoopaw is missing in that agreement. I thought that might have been a typo, but it's probably just that. but it's still something that's relatively important because that's what's supposed to check the balance of who's eligible as a target worker. And from a Native American perspective, you know, some folks might think that that's, you know, nefarious or something because that one zip code represents Pequon, Wichpec, and Hoopaw. But anyway, I want to bring that to your attention that the 95546 zip code is missing. Thanks.
Thanks, Jack.
Cody Freitas with Operating Engineers, Local 3. I actually caught that right after. And that 95546, there was a duplicate for 95556, and that got corrected. So maybe you're operating off of just an outdated document, but there is a newer one that has that fixed. And Hoopaw, it got fixed, yeah. I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention.
Thanks, Cody.
Look, we accomplished something.
It might be important to note that a formal amendment was drafted, reviewed by both our council and others, as well as working with the tribe, and that was corrected and executed.
Thank you. All right, I am going to adjourn this meeting at 6:46. Have a good evening and a good weekend. Thank you, and good Halloween.
Thanks, everyone.